ranging from the smallest termites weighing less than 1 gram to the gigantic elephants weighing in at 5,000 kilograms, the most magnificent of animals can thrive on a completely plant-based vegan diet. Their diet range is broad, consuming foods in the form of fruits, vegetation, seeds, and tree nuts grown in nature's best fertilizers, sunshine, soil, and water. Living in accordance with nature, these marvelous herbivores inhabit the virgin forests and native plains of this magnificent planet which we are privileged to share. Each having a vital role in balancing the ecology, they act as Earth's guardian angels, contributing naturally and sometimes silently to life's great symphony. Supreme Master Ching Hai has stated how animals telepathically communicated with her, that if they had a choice, they would be vegetarian. In a video conference with our association members in London, United Kingdom, on June 13, 2008, Supreme Master Ching Hai explained how the noble qualities of animals naturally lead them to a plant-based diet.
Meat eating is not fit for anyone. Not even animals, but sometimes they don't have choice, they have to do it. You know, even some of the birds, they're supposed to eat some other smaller insect or something, or smaller fish or smaller bird. When I feed them vegetarian, they don't go there to eat fish or other animal. They continue to come to my house to eat vegetarian. Even my dog, they refuse meat. They don't eat meat anymore. After they've been with me and vegetarian, they know vegetarian is good, they don't eat meat.
Today's program features a beautiful, elegant, industrious, and intelligent vegan insect, the bee. Bees are well known for the vital role they play in pollination. They keep flora flourishing throughout our world.
And these bees are so crucial to the global food production, and it's not just food production, but it's actually everything, because bees actually pollinate about 100 different types of our food crops. The bee has been around for 80 million years. Well, there's about 20,000 different species of bee, of which about 17,000 have been formally identified.
The 20,000 species of bees can be divided into 11 families, which collectively belong to the superfamily Apoidea. Bees are found around the world except at the highest altitudes, in the polar regions and on some small islands. Bees, being vegan, feed on nectar for energy and pollen of floral oil for protein and other nutrients. They have a long proboscis, which is comparable to a sophisticated tongue that enables them to get the nectar from flowers. All bees have two antennae, which feature 13 segments in males and 12 in females. They all have two pairs of wings, with the hind pair being smaller. Most bees are fussy, and for good reason. The body has a feathery appearance because it carries an electrostatic charge, essential to helping pick up pollen as the bee flies from flower to flower. As the bee grooms herself, pollen coats the scopa or dense hairs found on the hind legs. How does pollen then reach neighboring plants? As these hard workers visit various flowers throughout the day, invariably the powdery substance will rub off on the carpel or pistil and fertilization occurs. Many bees are black or gray, but others can be bright yellow, red, metallic green or blue. The size of the smallest bee may astound you. The distinction belongs to the Trigona minima, a bee which is a mere 2.1 millimeters long. What about the largest bee? The honor belongs to Megachile Pluto, a leafcutter bee whose females can be as long as 39 millimeters. If you are in the northern hemisphere, chances are good that you've seen sweat bees, so named because they are attracted to the salt in human sweat, as they are the most common type of bee in this region. The best-known bee species in the world is perhaps the European honeybee, who, as their name suggests, produce honey. They are found throughout Africa, Asia, Europe, including southern Scandinavia and the Mediterranean. The honeybee is not native to the Americas, but was introduced to the continent by humans. In general, worker bees either concentrate on finding nectar or gathering pollen depending on the needs of the colony. Bees collecting nectar may pollinate flowering plants in the process, but bees that are focused on gathering pollen are the best pollinators. Some bees are very open and visit many different kinds of plants to get pollen, while others are more choosy and will only take the substance from one or a few types of plants. It is estimated that one-third of the human food supply depends on insect pollination, most of which is accomplished by bees, especially the domesticated European honeybee. When vegetarianism, the noble way of living, returns, we'll continue our profile of the lovely and sweet vegan bees who are steadfastly dedicated to their work. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
Basically saying that humans will be wiped out if bees are wiped out.
Yeah.
If bees go, we go.
Hand in hand. Yeah, absolutely. Well, for 80 million years, obviously they provide some service. And they know what they're doing.
Welcome back to Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. The star of today's show is the ever busy bee, a vegan insect that contributes so much to our planet by enabling many flowering plants to reproduce. While some bees are solitary, others may live in various types of communities. The most highly developed bee societies are called eusocial colonies. One can find such advanced communities within different varieties of honeybees, bumblebees, and stingless bees. Communication between bees is truly sophisticated, as they use chemical messages, touch, sound, and a symbolic dance language, such as in the case of honeybees.
The complex life of a honeybee, the civilizations that they have, that society, so perfect, so incredible, supporting the whole hive. Everyone has its job, and everybody does its job perfectly. And that's what makes the honeybee so special, so incredible. But the bumblebee, they can be solitary, or they can live in small groups of say 20 to 80 bees, and they just need whatever it could be. You can have masonry bees, or they can live in holes in the ground.
With a eusocial colony, there is a clear division of labor. There is a queen bee whose main job is to create the colony's next generation by laying eggs. All her daughters, the worker bees, take care of such important tasks as building the hive by secreting wax and collecting food. In spring, a honeybee queen in a eusocial community may lay 2,000 eggs per day, and these eggs will hatch in 3 to 4 days. Just over 2 weeks later, an adult bee will be ready to emerge from the wax cell. Bee larvae are fed through either mass provisioning or progressive provisioning. In mass provisioning, pollen and nectar are combined and stored in a small chamber or cell with the egg deposited on the mass. After the egg is laid, the cell is usually sealed and the larva will not interact directly with the rest of the colony while growing. With progressive provisioning, used by large eusocial colonies, a larva's food is supplied gradually as it develops. Bees play a critical role in maintaining the ecosystems wherever flowering plants are found. Cultivation of fruits such as apples, pears, grapes, melons, avocados, and most berries depends on the presence of bees. Vegetables such as celery, broccoli, tomatoes, cauliflower, cabbages, peppers, and carrots also rely on bees for reproduction. growing nuts like chestnuts, walnuts, coconuts, Brazil nuts, almonds, and cashews requires bees. Legumes such as soybeans, lima beans, kidney beans, string beans, and black-eyed peas, etc., also depend on bees for pollination to bear seeds. Honeybees are estimated to pollinate 90 commercial crops worldwide. By themselves, honeybees pollinate up to $14 billion worth of crops annually in the United States. Sadly, bee population levels have been significantly dropping in recent years. From 1972 to 2006, there was a dramatic reduction in the number of feral or wild honeybees in the United States. Nowadays, feral honeybees are almost non-existent in the US. The situation is also troubling in the United Kingdom.
I came back to Britain and I noticed a change in the 5 years that I was away. The change to the environment here was quite horrendous. I mean, their farming techniques have really taken its toll. The bee population has plummeted. And a report came out in 2007 by Lord Rooker, who basically said that we've got 10 years left before the bee population is pretty much extinct. And this is global. There are 1,000 solitary bee species which are on the verge of extinction or extinct already. But basically, it's pretty dire.
Due to the widespread use of chemicals on crops and the effects of global warming, bee populations are currently experiencing a dramatic decline from what is known as colony collapse disorder, or CCD. When this occurs, all the worker bees desert the hive and leave the queen behind, with the end result of the whole colony dying off. The number of deaths is frightening, with a third of all the hives in the US having disappeared during the winter period between 2006 and 2007. In France and Germany, massive die-offs of bees have been firmly linked with neonicotinoids, a type of chemical sprayed on crops and is very much like nicotine. During an international gathering in August 2008, Supreme Master Ching Hai spoke about the harmful effects of greenhouse gases on the precious populations of bees. Their disappearance, in turn, dramatically affects the world food supply.
Now, the continued decline of bees affects the food now. This is nothing new, but they keep reporting it's getting worse all the time. Because if there's no bees, there's no pollination. And then some food, some fruits, and some vegetable depends on the pollination to bear fruits, yeah? And now a lot of bees have died. The whole colony sometimes collapsed. They call it the collapsing of the colony. So now maybe we don't have food soon, not to talk about climate change or anything yet, yeah? We might have no food because of no pollination. Or the bees die because of the poisonous gas. Some small insects and bees, they die because they cannot bear it. It's too much for them.
These lovely, diligent flying insects are indeed very important to the survival of many species, including our own. Due to their efforts, a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and legumes are available for us to enjoy.
Bees can't survive on just the flowering of one crop. And so a lot of bees are dying from several things, from weakening due to, you know, lack of food. We always have different crops and they're always blossoming. And for us, the bees help to pollinate all the plants and we get more production because there's more pollination going on, more than just the air. So it has to be very interconnected because things have to reach, you know, a reciprocity of existence. You know, everybody has to give for the other to exist and back and forth.
The loss of bee populations worldwide is a serious problem and a big challenge for humanity. Please join us next Thursday on Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, to learn about possible solutions to help save the bees. Loving viewers, thank you for joining us for Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Coming up next is Between Master and Disciples on Supreme Master Television. May we honor and cherish God's creations through our loving and dignified treatment of all beings.
For more details, please visit www.SupremeMasterTV.com/VEG.